sorry, where was I? 1425. Okay. All right. We'll start with 25. Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my Talmidim." This word hate means to not submit to their control, their desires and wants over your life, to set aside their rule over you in order to submit to the one you love. This is why the word admonishes the man and the woman to leave their father and mother and cling to each other. They are no longer under the tutorship of parents, but are free to love each other as a man and wife. In other words, Yeshua has to be number one in your life. Okay, he has to be the all in all in our life. Shabbat Shalom. It's good to have you. See you next Shabbat, okay? So again, intercession means to stand before Yahweh on behalf of his people and his will for them. It means to stand between in the gap of Yahweh and his people. Let's go to Ezekiel 22:30. You know, when you have a true heart for intercession, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh may wake you up in the middle of the night to start interceding for somebody. And just start praying for somebody. And I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I poured out my indignation on them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. So God is looking for people that will intercede and stand in the gap. It means to, again, to plead for the good of his people and for the honor and esteem of Yahweh before his people to be manifested, to go out and proclaim his will into the earth, using his Hebrew name, Yahweh, Yeshua, thus opening a door for him into this world to do his will on earth and in the hearts of his people, whom he has foreknown and chosen to be his own. Therefore, intercession is primarily done on behalf of his chosen remnant, the seed of Jacob, who will remain faithful to him in the days of evil to come. Jeremiah 31:7 says, "For thus says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish and say, O Yahweh, spare your people, the remnant of Israel." If you are born again, you are a part of Israel. You are a part of Jacob's remnant. Okay, we need to stop, get rid of the mentality that we're separate. We are a part of Israel. And God needs us to intercede in this earth for others. Elijah said to Ahab, "As Yahweh lives," in 1 Kings 17:1, "as Yahweh lives before whom I stand," again, intercession is a priestly call. This is why we must spiritually be clothed in the garments of the high priest, Zadok righteousness, the Melech Zadok, the King of righteousness, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we're going to do a deeper study on the clothing of intercession. Okay, we're going to look on some scriptures. But again, God is looking for people to stand in the gap. I believe that God will, you know, if we're serious with him, I mean, we know that this country is under judgment because the majority has forsaken God. But we can still pray and intercede and ask Yahweh to stay his hand so we can do what he has called us to do. I believe there's still a lot of work to be done. We haven't even been seen. You know, it's interesting that I heard it was just happened to just, you know, come to my attention with this Messianic Jewish rabbi. He said the number 11 is a number for Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son. Now it's interesting. This is 2011. This number 11 just will not get away from me. Okay, this is, you know, 2011. This is 11th month. Could this be the year that God, Yahweh, is going to start revealing Joseph to his brothers, Judah? You know, that thought came to me. It was like that they are going to start seeing, you know, Ephraim, who is Joseph, to his brothers. That's just a little nugget. It was just something that I heard. It just like caught my attention because, again, that number 11 has just been hit me in the face, and 11 is a number for Joseph. Hallelujah. I believe it's coming. You know, I believe that as we intercede and pray, again, if you're on an email list, 40 days of prayer to Hanukkah, where we are going to be interceding and praying for Israel, for America, for the youth. It's very important we pray for the youth. If Yeshua should tarry, they're the next generation. They're the ones who are going to take over. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for this country. You know, because still, I believe this country is still the, you know, one of the main places where the word is going out. It's, you know, especially now the Torah. Right. And we need to pray and intercede, you know, for the pastors and believers that they will be, again, be prepared as the bride. Israel, my beloved, the bride for Messiah's return. I believe we're close. How close? I don't know. But we're supposed to be just doing what he told us to do. Okay? If he wanted us to know the date, he'd let us know. Okay? So if the preacher gets on TV and says it's going to be on December 2nd. Oh, hallelujah. And people believe him. It's like it's just unbelievable. All right. Well, next we're going to be dealing more closely on Ephesians 6. The harm of God in Exodus 28, but I'm going to go on and we're going to read some of these scriptures on intercession. Again, intercession is standing in the gap. It's actually laying your life down to pray and intercede for somebody else. And to be a true intercessor, again, God may wake you up at 3 in the morning to start praying for somebody because somebody's life could be on the line. And I pray that, you know, again, this ministry needs strong intercessors. We need people, we need to be praying and interceding for one another. And we need to be praying for what God has called us to do. Okay? Like a woman getting ready to give birth. I'm going to sit down here. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 11, 1-5. Got a lot of scriptures, but you know what? We're going to get through them all. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times, too, people that are really strong intercessors, other people look at them as kind of strange. You know, but that's because they're so in tune with what's going on in the spirit and praying and interceding for people. It's okay, I don't mind being strange. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, right? What's being more peculiar? Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he will delight in the fear of Yahweh, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. You see that picture, that armor there? Hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel 22:30, which I think we just read that, but we'll read it again. Again, that's why, you know, it's so important to pray the word, because the angels only hearken to the voice of God and his word. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 22:30. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Again, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. We've got twofold. We need to be standing in the gap for Israel, for those that are trying to destroy them. And we need to stand in the gap for this land, because I still believe we still have a job to do. Okay, but if we don't say anything, if we keep our mouth shut and we don't pray and intercede, go to Isaiah 59:16. Hallelujah. And he said there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. And he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. Sounds like Ephesians 6, doesn't it? You can see the breastplate, the garments, the helmet. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 7 and 9. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk and drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Again, we need to be alert and sober, being aware of what is going around, you know, around us. Go to Daniel chapter 9, 3 to 19. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to Yahweh my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome Elohim, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Now here we see Daniel standing in the gap now and confessing the sins of Israel. And he includes himself. Okay, Hebrew prayer is not an I. It's we, us. Okay? It says, we have sinned and committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings and our princes of our fathers and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame. As it is in this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries, to which thou hast driven them because of their unfaithful deeds, which they have committed against thee. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings and princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To Elohim, to Yahweh our Elohim, belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, or Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his teachings, which he has set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside, not obeying the voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law, the Torah of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, for whom we have sinned, for we who have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring us to great calamity, for under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the Torah of Moses, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of Yahweh our Elohim by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to thy truth. Therefore Yahweh has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For Yahweh our Elohim is righteous with respect to all his deeds and which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now Yahweh our Elohim, who has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made a name for thyself, as it is this day. We have sinned, we have been wicked. O Yahweh, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thine anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, for because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now our Elohim, listen to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications, and for thy sake, Yahweh, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear. Open thy eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplication before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, listen and take action. For thine own sake, O my Elohim, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So you see what he, first he confessed the sins of his people. He didn't come arrogantly before God. He says, God, it's our own fault that we're in this situation. And he included himself. And Daniel is a righteous man. Okay, but he was identifying, so intercession does it, he was identifying with the sins of Israel. And he was standing in the gap and pleading with Yahweh, yes, we have sinned, we have done what was wrong, and we got exactly what we deserve. But I'm asking for your mercy to restore us. Okay, that's what an intercessor does. He pleads with Yahweh. He stands in the gap for Yahweh. He confesses the sins of others and identifies with what they are going through. We see that in Moses' life. We see that in the life of Nehemiah. Okay, all righteous men, but who stood in the gap for others. Okay, go to Romans 8, 26 and 27. Again, we have Yahweh. We've got the Spirit of Yahweh dwells within us. I mean, the Ruach HaKodesh, that's the Spirit of Yahweh that dwells within us. Okay? He says, and in the same way, the Spirit or the Ruach also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself, the Ruach Himself, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you get a spirit of intercession, for me, I don't know about how many has happened to you, but it's happened to me, where you just, I mean, you almost feel lost yourself when you're standing in the gap. You almost feel like you're giving birth to yourself. This heaviness comes on you, and it won't go away until you just yield yourself to the Spirit of God, okay? And He searches the hearts and knows the minds of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. So we have, again, Yeshua, the Spirit of God, interceding for us as well. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. You know, sometimes, you know, all of a sudden it's like, I'll be fine. All of a sudden this heaviness will come on me. And I'm thinking, what is wrong? What's going on? And I just start praying until it leaves. Why? Because the Spirit is interceding within me, because somebody needs my prayers. Somebody needs me to stand in the gap and start praying for them. And I may not know in the natural what's going on. I just yield myself to the Spirit of God until I feel that peace come on me. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10 is what I said. Okay. You know, I think if we spent more time praying for one another instead of arguing with each other, we'd get a lot more done. Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Again, what? The spiritual fortresses. Remember when Daniel was praying and interceding? And he was fasting and praying, and he was waiting for an answer. And then the angel, I think it was Michael, came to him. He says that there was warfare in the heavenlies, that, you know, there's spiritual warfare going on there. And we need to pray and intercede because, again, the angels hearken to the voice of Yahweh. That's why it's important to pray His word and pray in the Spirit. Okay? We have authority over those principalities and powers in the name of Yeshua. Not in your own power. It's the name of Yeshua they have to bow their knee to. It's the word they have to bow their knee to. But if we don't, you know, yield ourselves to do what God's called us to do, then you know, we only have us to blame if things don't get done. Where was I? 2 Corinthians 10. Okay, go to 1 Timothy 2, 4 to 6. The enemy does not want people to hear this message. He does not want to see you go forth and do what God's called you to do. And he can only stop us if we let him stop us and we don't obey and we don't pray. Prayer is dependence on God as well. We need him. Very quiet spirit here today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your shalom, Father. Hallelujah. 2, 4 to 6. I've just felt real, and all day, just a real spirit of, you know, a shalom. Just a, like. Okay, here it says that. Let's go back to, let's begin in verse 2, verse 1. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil, quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We need to intercede for those in authority over us, whether we like them or not. Who was Paul? Who was in authority when Paul wrote this letter? Nero. One of the most bloodthirsty, you know, cruel emperors there was. And it says we need to pray and intercede. Why? So we can live a quiet, a life of quietness and godliness and all dignity. It says this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. For there is one God, one Yahweh, and one mediator also between Yahweh and man, the man, Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself as a ransom for all the testimony born at the proper time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. I praise God that Yeshua is there interceding for us. Hallelujah. Standing in the gap is the Kohen HaGadol, high priest. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Since we then have a great high priest, or Kohen HaGadol, who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest, or Kohen HaGadol, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all ways, things as we are, but yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace and to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Here's some good examples of intercession. Go to Exodus 32. Again, we see that in Moses. How many times did he intercede for Israel when they rebelled against him, when they were ready to stone him and kill him? You know, God says, you know, I've had it with them. You know, let me just get rid of them all, and we'll, you know, Moses will just send you over, start over. But no, he stood in the gap for them. Some of us would say, yeah, God, that's a good idea. Get rid of them, we'll just start all over. But he wasn't, he was an intercessor. Hallelujah. Then Moshe returned to Yahweh and said, alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin. If not, please blot me out from the book which thou hast written. I mean, that's a man of mercy. He says, God, you know, forgive them. Or he goes, I'm willing to be blotted out of the book. for you to forgive them. And that's a big sacrifice to want to make. But now, but go now, lead the people, and this is Yahweh talking back to him. And Yahweh said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now go lead my people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin. Then Yahweh smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. Even Paul, you know, that was Paul's priest. He says, I pray, you know, he wanted to see Israel saved so much that he said, I'd even, you know, be accursed and set apart to see them saved. That's how much he loved and wanted to stand in the gap for them. Go to Numbers 16:22. I mean, those of us that study Torah, you know, most of you know the story behind, you know, most of this. Numbers 16, very, you know, well known, Korah's rebellion. Korah decided he wanted to be boss, you know, and said that, you know, he should be boss and not Moses. Okay, so let's go to verse 22. Let's begin with verse 19. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of the meeting, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to all the congregation. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Okay, God was ready to wipe them all out. He goes, you guys step over there, you know, because they're all going. But what happened? They fell on their faces and said, O Yahweh, thou God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, wilt thou be angry with the entire congregation? Again, standing in the gap, standing before God and saying, you know, God, why should they all suffer because of this one man? Okay? Abraham did the same thing. Did he do the same thing for Sodom and Gomorrah? He stood in the gap and pleaded, you know, bargaining, you know, God, you know, okay, about 50, okay. Couldn't find 50. Okay, let's try 40. How about 40? Because of the heart he had, he says, if there's anybody righteous there, I want to see them. You know, boldly standing before God. Why? But they had a good relationship with Yahweh. And if there were 10, God would have spared them. But God knew there wasn't 10. But he allowed him to stand in the gap and intercede. Because, you know, I believe that pleased God. It pleases God when we plead on behalf for others, that they will come to the truth. Again, instead of, you know, it's so easy to criticize people. How about if we start praying for people and interceding? God, open their eyes to the truth, Father. Father, we don't want to see any of our family members saved. I mean, lost. Church miss out on the blessing. Open their eyes to your truth, Father. Yes. Instead of fighting and arguing with one another, yes. Who opened our eyes? The Ruach HaKodesh. Right. Pray, God, open their eyes to the truth. Stand in the gap. Pray, intercede for them, and show them the love of the Father. You know, Yahweh is very well able to open their eyes.
That's right.
You know? Right. Instead of getting ugly and nasty. You know? Okay, Isaiah 60, let's go to Isaiah 64, 6 to 12. Our prayers are powerful. Prayers can change people's lives.
Right.
Not criticism, prayer. That's one of the things he sees, you know, he spoke to my heart. You know, he says, when people are mean and ugly and nasty to you, or they don't understand, pray for them. Pray. You know, God has given us such a power in prayer. Holy Isaiah 64, beginning with verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. And there is no one who calls on thy name, who arouses himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hidden thy face from us, and hast delivered us into the power of our iniquities. But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. Again, that corrects a misteaching, because how many times have you taught that Israel didn't know God as their Father?
Right.
They did know God as their Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and all of us are the work of thy hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are thy people. The holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, has been burned by fire, and all our precious things have become a ruin. Will thou restrain thyself at thy things, O Lord? Will thou keep silent and afflict us beyond measure? Again, Isaiah praying and pleading for mercy on behalf of his brothers. Go to Ezekiel 11:13. Also, prayer keeps us humble, too. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. None of us are perfect. So that's why it's so important for us to lift one another and pray for one another, because we don't know the battles, you know. I mean, I don't know the battles some of you are going through or facing, but I can pray the word, and I can intercede, and I can agree with what the word says, that you're more than victorious, that, you know, that God's perfect will is going to be done in your life, and that, you know, there's so much power in that word going forth in somebody's life, that we can see people's lives turned around and changed. We can see this congregation turned around and changed by prayer. I believe one of the reasons we haven't fully gotten into where God says we're going to go is because we've lacked in prayer. We haven't been praying like we're supposed to. We've become lackadaisical. We've been so into head knowledge that we've forgotten to get down on our face before God and pray for one another. We're all guilty of that. Ezekiel 11. We're so busy, again, criticizing each other because, you know, the color of the tzitzit's wrong, or you're wearing a kippah, or you're not wearing a kippah, you know, and, you know, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong. Why don't we pray for one another? You know what? The Ruach HaKodesh is very capable of showing each and every one of us what we're doing wrong, okay, and correcting it. Now it came about that I prophesied that Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, Alas, Lord God, wilt thou bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end? Again, interceding, standing in the gap. Go to Ezra 5. Actually, it's chapter 9. That's a typo. It's Ezra. Should be Ezra, I believe. Chapter 9 is what I want. And you see, the prayer of Nehemiah, the same prayer, confessing, you know, their sins, you know, thanking God for his deliverance and what he has done for them. Beginning, 9 verse 5, that's flipped around. It's not 5:9, it's 9:5. But at the evening offering, I rose from my humiliation, even my garments and my robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to the Lord, my Elohim. And I said, O my God, O my Elohim, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt have grown even to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt on account of our iniquities. We, our kings and priests, have been given into the hand of kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to plunder, and to open shame, as it is to this day. But now for a brief moment, grace has been shown from Yahweh, our Elohim, to leave us an escaped remnant and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our Yahweh may enlighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our bondage. Verse 10:1, while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of Yahweh, a very large assembly of men and women and children gathered to him from Israel, for all people wept bitterly. The power of prayer bringing repentance. Weeping bitterly. I mean, crying out to God. You know, there's times in intercession where you just cry. I mean, tears just flowing. You just cry out to God on behalf of somebody else. We need to cry out to God on behalf of his people. Okay? We need to cry out to God on behalf of of, you know, the teachers and you know, the those that are teaching the word. Again, if we go to John 17, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is Yeshua's prayer of intercession for us. What was it? That we would be one, even as he and the Father are one.
Amen.
Is his prayer going to get answered? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And he is there interceding. I'm sure he's probably shaking that. Nope. They're going to be one as you and I are one, Father. They are going to be one. Sure, he looks down and probably thinking, no, I think they're going to be one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spiritual warfare. Sedamp just means to stand between the people and the gates of hell. Demonic realm of Satan, or HaSatan, on behalf of his people, is to stand for the will of Yahweh in order to loose someone or a group of people from the grip of HaSatan. We must be clothed in the whole armor of Elohim in order to stand firm. Let's go to Ephesians 6:10-13. I'm going to go into more detail with that next time, but let's read that. We need to make sure that we have our spiritual clothes on and the blood of Yeshua covering us and the authority of his name, using the authority of his name. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of Yahweh that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of HaSatan. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay? Your problem isn't with the person in the flesh, it's behind the spirit that's using them against you. That's what we need to come against. We need to see beyond the flesh and see who's actually motivating them and take authority. Therefore, take up the full armor of Yahweh that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. And in the Greek, that word take up means to put it on and not take it off. Amen. Put on those garments and don't take them off. We are to keep them on. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. What's the truth? Torah. His word is truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Didn't we read scriptures before that talked about the breastplate? Again, you're going to see when we study this even deeper that this is describing the garments of the high priest. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of shalom. In addition, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And here he asked for prayer, and we covered this prayer too. We need to pray this for one another, that utterance may be given to us in opening our mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news. We all need that boldness for him. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through Elohim to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captive every thought to the obedience of Messiah, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The role of intercession is not for novices in the faith. But you know what? I know this room is filled with mature believers. You are not novices in the faith, okay? It is the role for the mature, the stable in the word, the obedient, the ones Yahweh can trust to speak his will into the earth. What's his will we're supposed to be speaking into the earth? His word. Hallelujah. He only backs his will. Our authority level is built by mutual trust through our obedience to him and our submission to him, even in our thoughts. We cannot rightfully speak his will into the earth unless our life is pure before him. Judgment is also a part of intercession. We must not judge anyone or any situation by ourself. Only his judgment is perfect. Again, we need to make sure that we are walking in purity. Intercession and spiritual warfare require an intimate relationship with him, for we are living sacrifices unto him. He cannot use someone with self on the throne. We must die to selfish ambitions, selfish agendas, and self in general, and live a life of repentance in order to be pure and set apart bondslaves of Yeshua Messiah. The bondslave lives in the master's house, is trusted totally, and receives the benefits of the friendship with the master. Acts 9:15, the demons ask those playing games with deliverance, Yeshua we know, Shaul we know, but who are you? What happened when somebody was playing games? Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's see what's happened. There are a lot of people out there that are playing games. You know, this is serious warfare. This isn't, you know, a joke. Let's begin with verse 11. And Yahweh is performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Shaul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Yeshua, whom Paul preaches. And seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Yeshua, and I know Shaul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And it became known to all, both Jew and Greek, who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of Yeshua was being magnified. At times he said, again, there's times where he'll tell you not to make intercession for someone or something. As in Jeremiah 7:16, it's because the person or people have gone so far into sin that his mercy cannot reach them, because they love their sin, not because he doesn't want to redeem them. There's times where, you know, you'd be interceding for somebody, and the Ruach HaKodesh will tell you, you know, stop. You know, they've shut their heart to me. Jeremiah 7:15-16, and he says to Judah, and I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. To Jeremiah he says, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift a cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. In Jeremiah 15:1, he puts it this way to Jeremiah, then said Yahweh to me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. That's pretty much, I think, when somebody reaches the point, you know, again, Romans, that they've hardened and hardened and hardened and hardened their hearts. You know, but we need just to keep on praying and interceding and just be listening to what the Ruach HaKodesh is saying. Okay, and if that's something you learn as you pray, the more you pray, the more you learn about praying, the more you learn about intercession, okay? The worst punishment that Yahweh could have inflicted on his people as a whole was to banish them from the land of Israel. The greatest gift is now in operation. He is bringing back a remnant of the whole house of Jacob, all the tribes, Judah and Ephraim, to the land. Deuteronomy 11:12, his eyes is on one land continually, his land Israel, that he gave to Abraham and his seed through Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, to cast them out of his sight was to cast them out of the land. We must know him, his thoughts, his ways, his modus operandi, so that we do not intercede when he says no. Again, the worst thing that could have ever happened to the Jewish people was to be dispersed out of Israel. But now God is bringing them home, bringing us back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Intercession is mediation, okay? The high priest, and this is probably just going to be part one. I have a feeling it's going to be more of a three-parter. So intercession is mediation. The high priest Yeshua is our mediator before the throne of Yahweh. See that in 2 Timothy 2. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, 4 to 6. And I want to pray this prayer. And we'll continue with this next week. And I want to ask y'all to do something. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Hallelujah. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of crops. So again, he's just saying, we are soldiers in Yahweh's army. We're his soldiers, okay? We can't entangle ourselves with the affairs of everyday life. It's so easy to become distracted. Okay, we were bought with a price. We totally belong to him, spirit, soul, and body. Mediation, intercession is not prayer supplication. Prayer is basically to hear him and know his will so that we can go out and do what he says. Again, it's also judging oneself. Messiah spent whole nights in prayer and then went out to do what he had said and speak what he said. We are to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we are to talk without ceasing, but to listen to him continually and then do what he says, to be ready to intercede when he says and to prophesy when he says, to minister to individuals as he says, to supplicate as asking requests. Okay, to intercede again is to stand in the gap. And we're going to kind of stop here because we'll continue finish up on this section next week. Again, pray without ceasing. We can be in prayer all day long. Why? Because he's in us. I'm driving the car and I'm praying and I'm talking to him. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm praying and talking to him. You know, you could be listening and all of a sudden he puts somebody on your heart and you can pray and talk with him. And then there's a time where we need sometimes to get on our face before God for somebody else. You know, get on our face and weep and cry and intercede for our family, for our loved ones, for the lost and dying world. There's over 8 million people in the Chicagoland area. 3 million in Chicago, and then Chicagoland area would be all the suburbs surrounding that. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that need prayer and intercession. Believe me, Chicago's a stronghold. You know, we've got one of the toughest, you know, places really to live in spiritually. But God has given us authority where we can see things turned around and change. You know, and two, and praying, we need to be praying and interceding and asking him to show us how to go out there and reach people. How do we do this, Father? Show us. Okay? Let's go to the very last page. There's a prayer there. And where's my copy? Okay. This is the Scripture's declaration of intercession. And what I'm going to ask you to do too, the next 40 days. Specifically, the prayers for in here for the leadership. for the congregation, for one another, for the children, and for the conference. Faithfully pray this every single day. Okay? I believe, because I believe God is going to do, you know, a great thing among us. I really do. Amen. You know, because if I didn't do that, believe me, we would have wanted to give up a long time ago. You know, but that vision is stirring in my heart with what God wants to do. I was so encouraged to see this lady and this young man today. You know, they said, oh, we're so hungry. We're just, you know, we're so hungry to learn the truth. And they're out, and you know, so we have people that are hungry. You know, and we all have something to give, and we need to pray those people in. Because they're out there. They just don't know where to go. They found us because Rabbi Messer told them about us. Okay? We need to ask God to use us as intercessors. We need to pray that God raises up intercessors for this ministry. Because that's a ministry in itself, being an intercessor. There are some people that they're specifically called just to be intercessors. That's their job. All they do is pray. You know, pray for the congregation, pray for the world. They'll even, you know, again, if you're not an intercessor, you kind of look at them like, they're kind of strange, but they're not. You know, if God tells them to go to an area and start praying and interceding, they'll go travel over to that area and start praying and interceding over it. Okay, so let's, I'm going to read through these scriptures. Oh, we'll read it together. I think it's in the handout one. Yeah. Hold this together. Numbers 10:35. Rise up, O Yahweh, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. I shall certainly gather all of you, O Jacob. I shall bring together the remnant of Israel. Put them together like sheep of the fold. The breaker, Peretz, breach maker, shall go up before them. They shall break out and pass through the gate and go out by it. Their king marches before them, house of David, with Yahweh at their head. Yahweh will roar like a lion, and they shall march behind him. When he roars, the children shall come trembling, fluttering like birds, seeking a place to land in safely from the west. They shall escape with their children and shall return. Therefore, see, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when it is no longer said, Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has driven them. For I shall bring them back into their land that I gave to their fathers. Open the gates. Let the righteous nation which guards the truth enter in. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the deliverance of Yahweh, which he does for you today. Yahweh fights for you. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them to go forward. Thus says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Cry out, give praise, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Let the priests, servants of Yahweh, weep toward the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Yahweh, and do not give your inheritance to reproach for the Gentiles to rule over them. Yet Yahweh be jealous for his land and spare his people. You, O Yahweh, are our Father, our Redeemer. Your name is from old. Turn back for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your inheritance. In that day, Yahweh of hosts is for a crown of splendor and a headdress of comeliness to the remnant of his people, and a spirit of right ruling to him who sits in right ruling, and strength to those turn back the battle at the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. God is bringing his people back, and we need to intercede for that total restoration. Intercede and pray for one another. And again, you know, we covet your prayers, and we pray for you and lift you up as well, you know, daily. We need one another. You know, if we're, again, I believe that things aren't happening because we're not praying. Amen. But I believe that's going to change. Hallelujah. Because we are people of prayer. And the Bible is a book of prayer. Every great man and woman of God were people who prayed and interceded and stood in the gap for others. Even when in the natural, you know, And yet you're thinking, well, they don't deserve prayer, you know. But they stood in the gap and they prayed anyway. Amen. And we need to pray for one another. Hallelujah. Elvina Mulcano, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Yahweh, that you are bringing your remnant home. Father, we intercede for that remnant, Father, from every nation, every tribe, and around the world, Father. We intercede and stand in the gap for them. Father, we just pray against spiritual blindness that is keeping people from walking in their full inheritance in you, Yeshua. Father, we ask you to take the blinders off of Israel, Father. Father, we ask you to take the blinders off of Judah that they will see Messiah Yeshua. We ask you to take the blinders off of Ephraim, Father, that they may see the glory of your Torah. Father, we pray for our loved ones, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that do not know you yet. Father, we continue to stand in the gap and ask you, Father, to have mercy on them, Father. Father, yes, we have all sinned, Father. We confess that we have sinned, Father. We have not acted righteously. We have not walked in full obedience as you have required of us, Father. But, Father, we ask you, Father, to bring total restoration to this congregation, Father, to your body and Messiah. Father, turn, Father. We ask that, Father, that that spirit of intercession would be birthed within us, Father. Father, that we would listen to the Ruach HaKodesh within us, Father, and get in our face. And pray and intercede for one another. And pray and intercede for those, Father, Father, who are in the valley of the decision, Father. Father, we ask you to have mercy upon this land. Father, we pray for that the president and those in authority would come to repentance, Father. That they would repent, Father, and lift their hand. That they would repent from lifting their hand against Israel in the name of Yeshua. Father, we pray that every leader in this country, Father, would come to repentance, Father. Father, every church leader, Father, everybody, Father, who is in a place of authority from the top all the way down, Father, Father, that you would deal with our hearts, Father. Help us to be the people of God you have called us to be, Father, that we can see Yeshua returning, Father, soon, Father. Come quickly, Yeshua. Father, we praise you. Authority in the name of Yeshua. We thank you that we have your word to stand on, Father. And Father, that you hear our prayers and you are watching over your word to perform it in our life, Father. Father, I thank you for every person here that they are going to walk in the gifts and calling that you have in their lives. I ask you, Father, to stir it up within them, Father. Give them a holy boldness, Father, to go forth, Father, and do what you have called them to do. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a two. So hang on to your notes. Hallelujah. I just want to end with, finish up. A prayer service, and then we'll. I did bring some raw cheese today from the. Got to be cut though. It's from Beyond Organic. I brought raw cheddar, and I also made a bean and rice salad with salsa. I just threw it all together. I have no idea. They're organic beans, Russ. I didn't bring the hot dogs. Oh. I'm gonna bring them. I'm gonna have them for our Hanukkah party. Oh, okay. The hot dogs. Hallelujah. Just want to pray. I'm just gonna finish with. Okay, let me just get over where I need to be. Stand up and get a stretcher. Don't be surprised if you tell Yahweh you want him to use you as an intercessor that he wakes you up at 3, 4 in the morning. Hallelujah. Somebody needs prayer. They need prayer. Hallelujah.
get to number 14.